We'll send you a free copy of the new Christmas Archbook, O Bethlehem. All you have to do is leave your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean?, on the Issues Etc. comment line before Friday, November 20th, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from, 618-223-8382. Issues Etc., What Does This Mean?, 618-223-8382.
As I outlined this fall at the United Nations, we have a comprehensive strategy using all elements of our power: military, intelligence, economic, development, and the strength of our communities. We have always understood that this would be a long-term campaign. There will be setbacks and there will be successes. The terrible events in Paris were obviously a terrible and sickening setback. What I do not do is to take actions either because it is going to work politically or it is going to somehow, in the abstract, make America look tough or make me look tough.
President Barack Obama speaking today at the G20 summit in Turkey about last weekend's terrorist attacks. He said there in his press conference that followed that he does not want anyone to think that ISIS represents Islam, and to do so is both counterproductive and wrong. And he had a few choice things to say about, well, in an oblique way, about Republican presidential candidates who are calling for, at least allegedly calling for, a religious test for immigrants into the United States or into Western Europe. We're going to be talking about those terrorist attacks, not only in Paris, but also in Beirut. Robert Spencer will join us here in the second hour of Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon, the 16th of November. After our conversation with Robert Spencer, Carol Tobias of National Right to Life will join us. We'll talk about a case that the Supreme Court has agreed to hear out of Texas on abortion clinics. Then Pastor Tom Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson, Worship in the Tabernacle, Exodus chapter 40, in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Robert Spencer is a regular guest. He's director of Jihad Watch and author of several books, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks very much, Todd. Glad to be back.
Over the weekend and into the reporting starting this week, what do you think is the biggest misconception about ISIS that's being perpetuated in the coverage of these terrorist attacks in Paris and Beirut?
I suppose the biggest one, aside from the ongoing problem of the claim that ISIS has nothing to do with Islam and has no appeal to Muslims worldwide, the biggest misconception right now is that the refugee crisis is unrelated to the attack in Paris. It's already been established that two of the refugees just came into Europe in October, crossed in through Greece, were checked in as refugees, and then immediately made their way across the continent into France to wage jihad. And so we have to understand the refugee crisis in light of that. It would be absolutely suicidal to ignore that aspect.
Both of those cities, Paris and Beirut, have been the subject or the object of targets, terrorist attacks before. But why this time? Why Paris and Beirut this time?
I think primarily in regard to Beirut, because it was a soft target and was able to send a signal that the Islamic State is on the advance and is not in the least deterred by the American airstrikes. And as regards to Paris, the jihadis have had France in their sights for a long time. They're angry about the cartoons of Muhammad. They're still angry, even though there was the massacre of the Charlie Hebdo cartoonists in January. Last September, the Islamic State, or ISIS, sent out a threat saying that Muslims should try to murder French civilians. They said, be sure to target the spiteful and filthy French. And this was very much like the language that they used in their statement taking credit for the Paris massacre on Friday. They once again repeated that the French were immoral, were decadent, were waging war against Islam, and thus had to be targeted.
Now, what do you make of President Obama's statement earlier today where he essentially said the strategy that he has chosen to deal with ISIS is still working? He's going to stick to it. He actually repeated both of the things you said in your response to my first question as well.
Well, you know, the thing about the president's statement that I thought was most disappointing was that he didn't address at all the question of the possibility that there could be jihadis among the refugees. And his administration, the officials, are assuring us that they can vet these people. But remember that the Obama administration has said for years that they were arming and training vetted moderates. And that was the words, that was the term that they used, vetted moderates in Syria to fight against ISIS and against Assad as well. And the problem was that the Defense Intelligence Agency director, Michael Flynn, in an interview a few months ago, revealed that those so-called vetted moderates were actually on Nusra, the Free Syrian Army, and others that have ties to al-Qaeda, that have collaborated with the Islamic State. And he was, you know, either indifferent to the jihadi character of these groups or unaware of it. Either way, it's not good news. How is he going to vet the refugees when he can't vet the fighters in Syria?
What specific actions can the United States or other Western powers take right now to significantly contain or reduce or even curtail the power and the reach of the Islamic State?
Look, the United States military took out Saddam Hussein's army in a matter of weeks, and the Islamic State doesn't have the army Saddam Hussein had. If the United States had the will to take out the Islamic State, it could do it in a matter of weeks again. The problem is that there is a wrongheaded understanding of what it means to wage war. And instead of going in and destroying their ability to strike and destroying their claim, their pretensions to be a state, we would go in and then start rebuilding and spending all this money and giving them all this equipment and doing the nation building that we did before. And we have to remember that if we were to do that now, it's American Humvees and American weapons that the Islamic State is using right now against us, that they seized from the Iraqi army or that the so-called vetted moderates turned over to them. And so that would be a very wrong-headed course to pursue, but only a ground force that takes out this group is going to do the job.
So if we had the will specifically, what would you advise the president to do at a point like this?
Well, I would say to go in, take out the Islamic State. That you're not going to destroy the ideology because, of course, it's held by people all over the world. There are Islamic State affiliates now in Nigeria, in Libya, in the Philippines, in Yemen, in Thailand, all over the world there are Islamic State affiliates. And so it wouldn't solve the problem, but it would at least manage it a bit if their command central in Raqqa, in Syria, were destroyed and the whole Islamic State apparatus were rendered inoperable. But then the focus should be instead of on this quixotic and feudal nation building, on attempting to contain the jihadis so that they can't strike in America, as they have vowed to do. You know, they have detailed manuals about how they want to sow blood and mayhem in American streets and how they are trying to embed jihadis in the United States right now and get them in place to strike later. The refugee crisis is a tremendous opportunity for them to be able to do that.
Is part of the problem here, as you mentioned before, in President Obama's presupposition that ISIS doesn't represent Islam and that it does not appeal to Muslims worldwide? That second part there seems to be demonstrably false. It seems to have great appeal for worldwide Islam.
It's very much false, and it's dangerous. And it's not just Obama, of course. David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, says the same thing. Manuel Valls, the Prime Minister of France. Pretty much every Western leader repeats the same thing. The Islamic State or ISIS has nothing to do with Islam and has no appeal among Muslims. And yet 30,000 Muslims from around the world have found its appeal compelling enough to travel to Iraq and Syria and join it. And so that's a huge thing. You know, if we transpose that to any other situation and we had 30,000 Christians from churches all over the world going to some place to wage war in the name of Christianity, people would call that a major international problem. And this is as well. And to just wave it away instead of studying the appeal that it has among young Muslims and trying to counter it, just to ignore it and deny that it exists, it's frankly suicidal.
What do you make of Vladimir Putin's current solution, especially in Syria?
Putin is kind of hard to figure out. He's absolutely right when he says that we have to keep Assad in place in order to fight the Islamic State. It's just common sense. The Islamic State is trying to topple Assad. If Assad were removed, the Islamic State stands to be the main beneficiary and is going to be at the borders of Lebanon and Israel, and the crisis is going to escalate, and we could have a world war on our hands. Assad is a terrible guy. He's a tyrant, a despot, a killer. All that is granted. the problem is the alternative is worse. The thing is, Putin went in and said he was going to take out the Islamic State, and so far he hasn't really done much of anything more than Obama has. And so it seems as if both of them have interests that preclude them from taking the action that needs to be taken to really destroy this threat.
How can you describe in simple terms what President Obama's current strategy that he referenced many times this morning in his press conference from Turkey, what is his strategy?
His strategy seems to be to, of course, weaken the Islamic State by airstrikes while collaborating with these so-called moderate ground forces and fighting and relying on them to do the actual work of destroying the Islamic State on the ground. The problem is the Americans, the United States administration spent $500 million to train moderates, and here again, these vetted moderates in Syria. And they only got 50 guys to train for $500 million. And they spent all that money on training these 50, and then they let them loose in Syria, and they almost immediately just disappeared. They went home with their American trucks and weapons, or they turned them over to the Islamic State, or they were killed. And it was a complete waste of money. And so the glaring problem in the administration strategy continues to be the fact that there's no ground force. The Kurds have stood up well to ISIS, and they kept the ISIS troops from seizing and holding Kobani on the Syrian-Turkish border. But the Turks hate the Kurds and have been attacking the Kurds, and Obama has let it happen because he wants the Turks on our side. The problem is the Turks have not been fighting against ISIS. They've been fighting against the Kurds, and the Kurds are the only force that could conceivably muster some sort of a significant ground offensive against ISIS.
What is the appeal of ISIS? How would you describe it to someone in terms that the average person could understand? Why does it appeal to so many?
It appeals to so many Muslims around the world because it claims to be the caliphate. The caliphate, the word khilafa in Arabic is successor, and the caliph or khalifa is the successor of Muhammad as the military, spiritual, and political leader of the Muslims, kind of like the Pope with tanks. And he is there has not been a caliph and not been a caliphate in the Islamic world since 1924 when the secular Turkish government abolished it. And now the Islamic State claims to be the new caliphate. The caliphate in Sunni Islamic theology, and Sunnis are 85 to 90% of Muslims worldwide, is the sole legitimate government that all Muslims owe allegiance to and that supersedes all other allegiances. And so a lot of Muslims find this compelling. Of course, a lot of Muslims have condemned it, but so many have found it compelling that you have that 30,000 who have gone over to Syria and Iraq to join it.
Is it sufficient to contain ISIS?
No, it's not sufficient to contain ISIS, Todd, because, well, in the first place, they're not going to be contained. They're already here. There have already been plots that have been attributed to ISIS operatives in the United States. And there are several hundred Americans who have gone over to Syria and Iraq to join ISIS. And this is another problem, that they come back. And American authorities have not been able to figure out any way to keep them out. Seems to me that with ISIS having declared war on the United States, those people should be treated as enemy combatants, as having committed treason, and not be allowed back in. But Europeans have allowed them back in, the British have allowed them back in, the Australians, and a lot of them have already been involved with plots in those countries, and it's very likely that the same thing is going to happen here. And so you can contain the situation over there, and we should try to do that. But we have to recognize also that there needs to be a movement in the mosques in the United States to teach against the understanding of Islam that the Islamic State represents, and right now there is no such movement.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS. You'll find a link to The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS and to Jihad Watch at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you very much for your time.
Todd, a pleasure. Thank you.
When we come back, Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, will join us to talk about a case out of Texas. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear on the issue of regulating abortion clinics in that state. Stay tuned. Standing firm in a hostile world is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This Confessional Lutheran Conference features Issues Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you're in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org. faithlutheransa.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.